granules that we'll see. And I have to tell you a story about this butterfly. I don't know why, I had my net and my camera to take those pictures, and then I caught it. And let's go back to this butterfly. And I have to tell you, this is it right here, okay? So I took the pictures, and the butterfly got tired of it because I have this big, you know, soft box flash. Pew, 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 and it flew away. It spiraled out on the road and flew up over top of me and went down the road about 100 yards. So I'm trucking along behind it, a respectable difference, maybe, you know, distance maybe from here to the back of the room. And after a bit, it did this spiral again and flew up in the air and out into the woods, like way out in the woods and about halfway up the trees. And I'm like, ah, it's gone. And I noticed it was going back that way. So I walked just a little bit. And I'm like, wait, I'm just going to stop right here. And it went around and landed back on those flowers where I was taking the pictures of it. I'm like, I just got fooled. That butterfly led me astray and circled back. Just like if you were putting on a deer drive. Butterflies are smart. It's hard to catch them. They have all kinds of tricks up their sleeve. In fact, I got another story. That one right there, I was driving along with 235, just up the hill from your place. Saw that parking area in the woods, off to the right, kind of down in there. I saw that butterfly sitting there with his wings up, nice and, you know. I stopped, went in there, and I knew if you have your net out, butterflies are going to fly away. So I'm like this, and I'm walking in the shadows, and I snuck up to that butterfly. I better step back. It's in the sun, I'm in the shadows. They suck minerals out of damp ground, so it's there in the parking lot sucking up minerals. It's called puddling. So I swung at that butterfly, and it just laid its wings down and ducked. And I missed it. I knew if I missed it, it would fly. So as I stepped back, I swung and I caught it. That's why it's right there. Anyway, butterflies are smart, a challenge to catch, but even more so is a reflection of how incredibly creative our God is. So in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And there's more to light than meets the eye. I have a prism up here, and it's, you know, splitting the light rays up. It's refracting the light, and you can see the short wavelengths here, and it gets the longer wavelengths. It does it a couple of times there. And that is the visible spectrum that we can see, but there's more to it, like the UV lights that Ken Walker was using last night. And then there's X-rays. These are the short wavelengths. They're high energy. Then there's gamma rays, and these are all dangerous to us because they're so high energy. But the other direction, then you have longer wavelengths, like infrared, and we all enjoy that. You know, the nice wood stove, that infrared heat, you can feel that radiant heat. Then there's microwaves, and there's AM and FM radio waves and long radio waves. So there's the electromagnetic spectrum. That's the light that God created when he said, "Let there be light." And a few days later, he created the butterflies to interact with that light. And butterflies, just so we get this straight right now, take interacting with light waves to a whole different level than we do. We use dyes and pigments for our coloration. Butterflies do that too, but they also use structure. Like their wing scales, I like playing with blocks. You see that? I made some blocks to represent part of a wing scale of a butterfly. And there's all kinds of structures here, microstructures, nanostructures, that interact with the light waves to produce structural color. So we're going to get into that a little bit later, how that some of the color, a lot of the color we see in butterflies is actually structural. So back to this cabbage white and that bright matte white. It's cabbage soup, right? See? The cabbage caterpillar that's eating your cabbage, God gave it the ability to protect itself, so it has these little glandular hairs that produce poison, so not everything eats it, so we have cabbage white butterflies. But there are things that can handle, you know, navigating around and avoiding that poison. This is a parasitic wasp laying eggs in this caterpillar, and that caterpillar is not going to turn into a cabbage white butterfly, it's going to turn into a whole bunch of these little parasitic wasps. So pop a butterfly, cabbage white butterfly scale in my microscope, and you can see the scales on the wing membrane are there like shingles on a roof. Now, there's more than one layer. We're only looking at kind of one layer there, but there's a couple layers on butterfly wings on both sides. So there's all kinds of like complicated interactions with those light waves. Here, this is near the margin of a cabbage white butterfly's wing. There's some black there. You could turn maybe some of the lights on, then you can see this display a little better. I think the slides might show through enough. Can you see the butterflies and still see the wing scales? You can see the black and the white here. Now, unfortunately, my microscope can't resolve a butterfly scale like this, so this is a SEM, a scanning electron microscope. There's credit for that picture, but you can see there's ridges and cross ribs. Here's an even closer up one. You can see these ridges and cross ribs. So that's some of that structure that interacts with the light waves. Here you can see there's these trabeculae. They hold up. It's like pillars. And here's like a cross section. So this base of the scale is called a lamina. And inside here, this area is called a lumen. So these all are parts of it that interact with the light waves. And some of it is producing color that we see in a butterfly. Here's a black scale right beside a white scale on a cabbage white. And you can see the best my microscope can do at 93x, so 930 times oil. You can see these ridges and cross ribs. Then here's the white scale, and you can't see that very well, but if you look a little close right in here, you can see it looks like tic-tac-toe there. So there's a little bit of that showing through. It's all speckled white because what is happening is structural there. On those cross ribs are little reflective spheres, and they are scattering light like in a waterfall, like the droplets of air or bubbles of air or in a cloud. So that diffuse white is caused by all these little spheres. And they contain a pigment. So a pigment absorbs light and reflects some of it. Okay? That pigment is absorbing the blue, some of the higher wavelengths. Some of the blue it can. And so here, some of it is getting absorbed, and so you see yellow when it's absorbing some of the blue. So the butterfly is using some pigments, the black, the melanin, you know, like we use for God giving us the ability to, you know, change a little bit of color, you know. I used to have melanin in my hair, and now it went here, right? That kind of thing. So that there's a lot of melanin in those scales, and it's absorbing all the light, or almost all of it, and that's why it's black. Here's another one of the butterfly's methods of dealing with colors that God gave them, and that's scale stacking. So here we're going to look at a red admiral, and this blue color here is from scale stacking. And some of those other colors are pigments. Now, it was a caterpillar once, and so what it takes to make a red admiral is nettles. Yum. Here's the red admiral caterpillar. You can see he's protected, and they protect themselves too by that when they're really small, they'll sew up leaves. It's called a leaf shelter. And when they're big, like that one, He sewed up a leaf shelter here and here. So he's hiding inside there, and he's eating these nettle leaves. Ouch. And he has good reason to do that. While I was taking the picture of that, this guy came around waving his antenna. That's a parasitic wasp. He's looking for a caterpillar to lay eggs in. So instead of a red admiral, it would be these yellow-legged black parasitic wasp. But he didn't find it. Look at that. And it turned into a red admiral, and I wanted to take a picture of it. So I put it in the fridge for an hour, took it outside and pushed it onto the snowball flowers because I'm going to take a picture of it outside. And it just like flopped itself down into the snowball bush. And I'm like, oh, I looked for a long time. Finally, I stepped back and said, okay, it's cold. It can't fly. It's going to crawl up there on one of the flowers, bask in the sun. I'll get the perfect picture of it because that picture I had at first wasn't a very good one. And all of a sudden, it just flew out of the bush and flew away. So I don't have a perfect picture or thanks to my grandson, I have a pretty much perfect specimen of one. But here, this is a side view of it. And you can see this blue. And that blue color is scale stacking. If you look, well, it's structural. There's clear scales reflecting blue and black scales underneath it. So it's stacked scales. You can see them shining through here and there, the black scales. So the black is absorbing the light that passes through those scales. It's not reflected. And it gives it contrast. It helps that blue show up. And here's a diagram. The link is in the handout you'll get later, or where you'd find this, I believe. And you can see kind of a diagram of how that works. Like here's the blue, and you have this blue reflecting scale on top of a black scale. And here's two of the scales on top of each other that it's faint because it needs that contrast of the black underneath to have that blue that we can see. And then you can have other things going on with this scale stacking. There's also thin film reflection, like the membrane of the wing that's involved in it, and that lamina, the bottom layer of the scale. Like this is a block model that I made. This is the lamina here. So that acts as a thin film reflector, kind of like this bee wing here. And you can see it does it's iridescent. And that one of the things, these different colors, depending on the thickness or the angle, it's reflecting or you're seeing different wavelengths of light. Another tool in the toolkit of a butterfly is translucence or transmissance, where the light is transmitted through. And so they use this, like the red admirals and some of the other butterflies, they'll sit there and they'll move their wings a little bit in the sun. And so they're showing off that translucence. That's a tool that butterflies use, and it's fun to get down and try to get a picture that shows that. This is a painted lady or an American lady. I get them mixed up. One has four eyes there, and one has two. Here you can see they're on top. They're kind of copper colored. They have some eyes there, some blue colors. But these eyes are an example of some of the other tools in the toolkit of a butterfly. They use their colors for signaling, for identity, for camouflage. See how it kind of blends into that background as it's laying eggs here on the pussy toes. And surprise, like that eye, boo. You're going to go eat this thing and boo, it'll just show you those eyes and it might scare you and think, well, that's a nasty owl or something. And it takes some design to do that. Like it's an example of our amazing creator's engineering skills to build something like that, to design it so that it happens again and again. So it's something that butterflies, you can identify them by their coloration patterns. So you can hear some iridescence going on here. The different colors. There's often white near black, white beside black, because of the contrast, and it emphasizes the colors. And here is this blue stripe, and there's that iridescence. The blue stripe, you can see it's scale stacking again. This is obliquely, so you can see the scales, the clear scales stacked on top of black. That is one of the things that you can notice about butterflies is that pattern. It's repeatable. And it took instruction manual, instructions, the DNA, to grow those structural colors and pigments to produce and reproduce something like that for us to see. Here is a morning cloak butterfly. These overwinter as butterflies. So in the fall, you can see them. In the winter, on a nice warm day, you'll see them flying around. And this is an example of structural color, this blue. Blue is really rare in nature, really rare. Even blueberries aren't blue, it's structure. So it's light being interacted with structure that reflects that blue so that you can see it. And I'll demonstrate how that works here right now with using my document cam. So this is water. And let's take a look at this butterfly right here. You see the tip of this. I'm going to drop some water on the butterfly wing. Watch what happens. Drip. Did you see that? I'll do it again. Drip. 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 Okay. That water is repelled. The butterfly's wing is waterproof because of this structure of the wing scales. So at the size of those small features, microstructures, it interacts with the physics of water, and it causes it to beat up and roll off. So that also makes the scales self-cleaning, right? There's leaves that are self-cleaning because of structure. So the water beads up, rolls off, doesn't soak the butterfly wings, and takes the dirt with it. Now, here's a demonstration of butterfly wing structural color. This is rubbing alcohol, and it has different properties than water. And so the microstructures of that wing scale are not going to be operating. All right, if I get out of the way, you can see the blue spots on the morning cloak. Are you ready? Drop. Oh, so destructive. How about the blue azure wing up there, this little butterfly here? Blue is structural in nature almost all the time, not quite. How about the blue on the black swallowtail? So what's happening is that alcohol is getting down into this structure right here, and it's changing that refractive index so that the way it was designed to reflect blue is messed up. But that alcohol is going to evaporate, and the blue is going to come back. Red, like on our Red Admiral, is pigment. See? It doesn't go away. Now, interestingly, this is a red spotted purple, and it has red oranges on the bottom. Look at that. So this is the underside of the wing. So that is at least like somewhat structural, because it just disappeared when I dropped the alcohol on it. So the alcohol is a good test for structural color. So I started collecting insects because I'm wondering, like, whoa, how do insects produce their color? It's some of it's structural. All right, that's the end of the live demonstration. No, it's not quite. Here is structural color if you've heard of the blue morpho. Let me see if I can do this. I mentioned about kings wearing butterfly robes. There is a butterfly jewelry. You maybe have seen trays with a scene made out of butterflies. You can see the upside down palm tree there. The blue is structural. That's blue morpho wing, and it's a structural color that people love to use to make art. All right, let's get back to the slideshow. Here is a meta-analysis of butterfly structural colors, and this is this links in your reference in your handout. But you can see some of the variety. Here's, you know, the lamina, the lumen, and the structure there, the ridges, the cross ribs, the pillars. And the blue morpho wing, the pillar, the ridges look like Christmas trees. And here is, this is in the lumen. You can see these multi-layers, perforated multi-layers. Here's an looking down at filled windows. These are gyroid or 3D crystals, 3D photonic crystals. There's just an array, a huge toolkit, and different combinations that butterflies, that God created butterflies to use to interact with light waves and produce colors that we see. And Ken talked about this a little bit. This is some of what's operating, not all of it, but some of it. But when a light wave hits something like chitin, like what the butterfly scale is made of, some of it's reflected off the surface and it makes this wave, and some of it goes through a little bit, is reflected, and you know, that reflection makes this light wave. And if they're in phase, like when the up is up and the down is down, then it's constructive interference. So it's like having a whole bunch of penguins together. You know, penguins, you know, photons are like penguins. You can have a whole pile of them and it really has a presence. It's amplification, you know, that's how you turn up the volume, you know, have more waves. You don't change the wavelength. Where destructive interference is when the waves are out of phase and they cancel each other out, like if you would have noise-canceling headphones. It's just playing back those sound waves, and they interfere with each other and cancels it out. So some of what's going on in butterfly wings is constructive, where it's increasing the intensity of the light because of the interaction of this structure, and some of it's like canceling it out so you don't see it. There's other things that are going on there. Now scientists, they get to studying things and they really get focused on, you know, what they think actually is part of it. But it's always more complicated because you can't, you know, know everything. So here, this scientific report is making a big deal about the thickness of the lumen. I mean, the lamina, see that? And they're saying, you know, it changes the color. Well, it does. Here you can see that this is they're showing that this is, you know, what's happening. You know what they're not looking at right here? Look at this. All these are different heights. So there's something going on there too. I don't know if I have a picture in here of it, but I think I put it in. It's a microscopic scene that someone did. They went and they printed a layer like this out of chitin-like material, and they just changed the height of these ridges. All they had was little ridges, and they can make all the colors in the palette just by changing the height, like make it a little higher, get a different color, but it's all pastel. So just that. So this lamina thickness isn't the whole story. Here's structural blue and this lamina thin film and ridge height that makes our beautiful blue azures, the spring and summer azures. These little butterflies they're just little, I mean like pebble size, right? And when they fly, the upper part of their wings is just brilliant blue. And here you can see, here's a blue azure wing, and then I mounted it in my mounting fluid, put a slide cover on it, and you can see it's structural blue. The blue is gone because of the change in the refractive index. And I put it in my microscope, and at 90, 3X oil, you can see a little bit of the structure of the scales. And you can also see what looks like fingerprints there. Well, that's what I thought when I saw that. I ruined my, you know, my butterfly wing. I got fingerprints on it. Well, then I saw, look, that's a scale. What's going on here? Well, that is scent scales. So not only do the scales produce color and waterproof the wings and make them self-cleaning, they can produce scent. So some butterflies have scent-producing scales on their wings. So when they fly around, you know, they're flying around and spiraling, they're sending signals to each other with their colors and their patterns, but also, like, take a whiff of me, man. That's what's going on here with these. Here's our blues, and they're one of these Lycaenid butterflies, and so they have these perforated multi-layers, you know, down in between the ridges and the cross ribs. And just tuning these, just changing them, changes the peak wavelength. So just slight changes and thickness and distance changes what we see. Now, it takes a little bit more than that to make a butterfly. Here's Azure laying eggs in swamp dogwood in my fence row. There's the donut-like egg. And it takes ants to make our butterflies. The ants tend these caterpillars. They have this symbiotic relationship. The ants can communicate. They beat their antenna on there, and they are talking, and they're milking the blue azure caterpillar. You can see right there is a little droplet of honeydew. Yum, don't try it. And that God gave them the ability to communicate. These are eversible glands that tell the ant that I'm in trouble or get away from me, you're bugging me. And that I have a video of that, but I'm not going to show it now. That ant just goes totally berserk. And if you would stick your finger in there, it would tear into you. Anyway, it's a communication system. And remember, when you have communication, you have to have an origin in a mind, and you have to have a recipient that understands it. So this is a complicated thing. This just didn't happen. It's evidence of our amazing Creator. And there you have our little butterfly in there. That bright blue is just so shining through right there. Here's my butterfly that I don't have, the one that's missing right here. That's the same species as the one beside it. And right here, the red spotted purple, also called the white admiral, same exact species, just a variation in color. I wanted one of those because this is kind of cool, but they are so smart, it's hard to catch them. And when I had it in my net, I got so flustered, it crawled right out from under my net. It's happened way too many times. Here you can see structural blue. Now, that reminds me, let's see. How about we do this one? That is a beautiful black. And we do pigments for my black pants. Now, if I stick this butterfly to my leg, can you see that? Isn't that black, black? Is it blacker than my pants? Ouch. Is it blacker? It's blacker than my pants. So there's, God knew how to do black, black. It's that structure is like a light trap. And whatever light waves are bouncing around in there get absorbed by the extra melanin that's in that structure. Here's a little bit of structural blue. Now the yellow is pigment, structurally assisted black in a butterfly. And I'll just have to show you this a little bit. So this thing here is drawn or actually pictured in your handout, but here's like to show some of the toolkit of a butterfly. So this is to illustrate the perforated lumen. And you can also have like 3D crystals in here where you have periodicity. You have air and chitin in different, you know, directions, and that interacts with the light waves and it can change the color that's reflected. These green are to show, you know, the cross ribs, and so the distance, remember the distance of how these things are apart, that can change the color. Then you can have these closed windows. You can also vary the height of the ridges. And so God gave them all these tools to produce that color. And the last butterfly, and I call it the Holy Grail of butterflies, I have a story about this. So from Google Earth, I saw these cedar trees in a park in Allentown. So I went, stopped in there between sales and hiked in there, and no juniper hair streak. But there's a green butterfly. It's this little one right here and this little one right here. It's green inside, or its underwings are green. It's copper colored on top. That green is a structural green that we're going to look at. Anyway, I was up there, and from way up there, no juniper hair streaks. I didn't take my net along because butterflies don't fly when it's below 60 degrees. That's what they said, right? But I saw these flowers in these cedar trees, so I hiked down here. None of them on these cedar trees, but there was one over here, so I walked over to it. And as I was walking through this patch, I saw this little butterfly flitting around. So I followed it, and there it was. My juniper hair streak, the Holy Grail butterflies. For me, in Pennsylvania, as you can see, it's basking in the sun like a solar panel. It's sitting there on an angle, it's nectaring, and it's warming up in the sun. So that's why it could fly when it was colder than 60 degrees. And so I had my camera, so I caught it that way, but I didn't have my net, so I had to catch some elsewhere. But this green color is a structural green produced by gyroid 3D photonic crystals. And that is like cutting edge technology. Does anyone have a light powered computer? Has no wires in it, no printed circuits, doesn't overheat like mine. It's probably melting down right now because they're figuring that they can use these 3D photonic crystals to control light. Now they can bend light with them because they learned how to make them from butterfly wing scales. They can bend light, they can control light, and they want to use light beams to make computers. It's going to really up computers. It's going to be earth-changing, life-changing, once they pull that off, just like semiconductors were, you know, life-changing. That we can have computers that could do this kind of thing. Pretty amazing. Anyway, you can see it's a structural color. Here's the one mounted in my mounting fluid, and at a lower magnification, you can see white and this copper and then this green, and all these little specks of light are the 3D photonic crystals. And here is 93x oil. You can see these structures here. These are photonic crystals, and so they're all a little bit different orientation. That those speckles that you can see under the lower magnification are ones that are pointed, reflection is like pointed right at you. Bam! Gets in your eye, right? Well, some of them are pointed in a slightly different direction. If they were all pointed the same way, when you saw it, it would be really green, and you move a little bit, and it wouldn't be green. So if they're all oriented a little bit this way and a little bit that way, then you get green whichever way you look at it. Here is a gyroid 3D photonic crystal. And here is a model of one. And I'll just do this. So how this works is, I don't know if you can see it. I'll see if I can get it out here and make the light shine through it. There you can see there's periodicity there. There's holes through it that let the light through. And I turn it this way, get it right. You can see it that way. And it's 3D. You get the idea, okay? In all directions there, even on an angle, there's these air and chitin. So here's a 3D photonic crystal, 3D printed model that fits in, you know, to demonstrate that butterflies even have that technology to interact with the light waves, and it's like cutting edge, new, high-tech technology that people have learned about from studying butterfly scales. And what is the most amazing to me is here you have a green reflecting scale beside one that reflects a different color, and it doesn't have them. So God, when he spoke the butterflies into existence, and he said, let there be light, a couple of days later he created the butterflies, he gave them their DNA, which has the instructions to grow 3D, gyroid 3D, that's like 3D with a twist. And not only that, this is a simplified model, by the way. It's a cube. Butterflies take it to a different level. It's like rhombus, like, yeah, anyway. Yeah, there you have it. They interact with light waves, reflect that green, so we can see the beautiful colors that God created, and just to show us that he is an amazing, amazing creator. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He ought to know, right? And he created our hearts to interact with his light and reflect and shine forth to others so they can see that he is the light of the world.